points and foreshadows Jesus. And I just want to put out a few points there for you. Obviously, Exodus itself, the leaving of Egypt, points to Jesus. And the Passover meal, obviously, is associated with that. And Jesus was waiting for that and transitions through that to the communion. But he holds back on the last cup of wine, which is why he says, I won't drink of this until in heaven. So they were expecting that, but Jesus says, no, I'm going to tell you of something else that's going to precede that. And he pointed to the new covenant. Also, there's a sacrificial system that's set up in Exodus and with the link to the Lord Jesus Christ as the high priest. So we've got the high priest in the order of Aaron. So it's interesting, very interesting what he had to do. So if you can imagine, so there is Aaron and his sons and they're waiting to become high priests and priests in general. And first of all, there has to be a sacrifice for them. On the outside of the tent of meeting, there's a dirty, great, big altar made of bronze and they burn a sacrifice. And that is for their sins. And then they proceed forward and then they wash their hands and their feet. And then they walk further forward and they still haven't got into the tent of meeting. They put on their clothes and they're sanctified by anointing by Moses. And then he can enter into the Holy of Holies. But what stands before him is the veil. The veil that covers and hides the Lord God. That stands, that blocks, that's meant to be a block. No one can view it. The veil was a very important and very visible sign of that separation between God and man. And no one but the high priest could enter but once. And he entered in with the stones on his shoulder and on the breastplate, the names of of the sons of Israel. Very interesting. They're memorial stones. We'll come back to that. So they're on that. And close to his heart, sign that he's bearing the love for them. And on his shoulders, probably the burden of sin, we're not told. And then he has to come with the sacrifice of blood. And God says, no one may come before me empty-handed. I think that's very interesting on that. So he comes with that blood into the holiest of holies, behind the veil. And the people are outside. They wait. Will God accept it? Will he not? They do not know until he comes out. And it's said, when you get Zechariah, that in those days, they used to tie a rope around the ankle so that if he was consumed, nobody had to go in. How true that is, I don't know. But there was that moment, would it be accepted? And they've gone through all of that. And then you contrast it with Jesus. He was a sacrifice. There didn't have to be any sacrifice for him, ever. He didn't have to wash his hands. He didn't have to wash his feet. He washed others' feet, but nobody washed his feet. No one needed to. He didn't have to wear sanctified garments of the priesthood. He didn't have to wear the names on the shoulder or next to his heart. What were the things that reminded him of us and reminded God of us? His nail prints, and his hands, and his feet. The spear wound down the side. Forever, he bears them for us. Signs for God to see us and for Jesus to remember us and for us to remember what it cost. And finally, of course, on the high priest, he wasn't from a Levi's. He's from Melchizedek. Not from a line tainted with sin, but from Melchizedek, the forever priest, the holy consecrated line. And why I picked on the veil for those two songs was it appears in Hebrews 6, verse 13. Hebrews 6, 13 to 20. Should have had this up. Very interesting. Because we have a metaphor in there that doesn't really appear very often. So to cut it down, go to verse 19. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain or the veil, where Jesus, who went before us, has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. So he went behind that veil, and he has become our anchor. He's the one that we hold on to, that unbreakable. It's as firm as sure. It means it's dependable and unbreakable. No matter how much strain you put on that anchor, it will not pull away. He's firmly behind the curtain, the place where God is. We are safe holding on to that. And it's interesting, it links in so well with Hebrews 2:2, which talks about do not drift away. And so this is what helps us not to drift away. We have this hope, the Lord Jesus, that lives behind it. So the final point is this word memorial or remembrance that happens so many times in Exodus and Leviticus. And it's used usually to specify as a small part of a greater part on that. So the stones just had Israel's sons, but they were to represent the whole Israel nation. Parts of the offering were burnt as part to show that the whole part was sanctified, and then the priests would eat of it. And sometimes it was part of the sin offering or as a pleasing aroma. The idea of a small part in remembrance of a greater part. So hopefully you can see where I'm going. We take these. These are just tokens. These are tokens of a much greater thing, of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we transition into communion, with the service, come forward. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way open for us through the curtain, i.e. the veil, that is his body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Let's just pray. We thank you for the Lord Jesus that has made this possible. This was just an impossible dream, and yet the Lord Jesus made it possible, and that we live in that reality. May we hold on to it this week. May we hold on to that hope. May we remember what it has meant that we could walk through, past that curtain, that torn curtain, into your presence. May we be so grateful, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.